Living Hope. As Josh said earlier, some of our men are away at a men's retreat up at Mount Hermon and having a wonderful time, I'm sure. One of those men who went up there is Barry, so he is not here this morning. So, yeah, while the cat's away, the mice will play. No. So he asked me if I would bring the word this morning, and I said, okay, I will. I'm an encourager, not a preacher, but I'm going to string a lot of encouragement together and make a sermon out of it for you. Okay, how about that? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us and for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit now would be the ruling and reigning presence in this room. And Lord, that everything that's done and every word that's spoken would come from heaven, would come from you, and would minister to everybody in need. In Jesus' name, amen. That's an important thing. You know, I joked earlier when I didn't have music and boom, music came. And I don't know if you notice all the water up here, but, you know, Rod was like making sure, okay, she's going to need to be hydrated. And so people have come alongside to be a help. And that is a big ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to open with my first scripture there. It's out of the book of Acts in chapter 3. Barry kind of covered through chapter 2, and I was reading chapter 3. And what has happened here in chapter 3, your kids learned about it last week, because we're kind of ahead of you guys, that Peter and John went to the temple. And as they were going to the temple, there was a man there who was crippled from birth, and he was brought there, carried there to beg. That's where he normally would beg, and he was begging for money. And as they passed him, you know, he's begging for money, Peter and John looked at him, and they told him, look at me. Because a man's probably just, you know how it is, not really making eye contact, just, will you help, will you help, will you help, will you help? And so he looked at them intently because he thought, oh, they're going to give me some money. And they said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. The man, they took him by the hand. He rose up and he walked. Now, everybody knew this man was, and then he went into the temple and he's leaping and jumping and he's hanging on to Peter and John. And everybody knew this man was crippled. And so they are all amazed and they come over thinking Peter and John are wonderful. And Peter preaches his, far as we know, second recorded big message to a big crowd of people. And he says, you know, basically, we didn't do this by our power. This was done by the power in the name of Jesus Christ, who you crucified. And remember, Barry said last time, his same sermon he preaches, you know, you put him on the cross, he forgives you, repent. But this is where we pick up. He says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come to you from the Lord. I decided in all of this, I wasn't going to preach on the healing, because I think we'll get to that later when we talk about the gifts. But I have read over this, I mean, I know this passage. I've probably read over this a bunch of times. But the word that popped out, or the phrase that popped out, that times of refreshing may come to you from the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, he says kind of the same thing. Repent, turn to God so your sins may be wiped out. And then that so that you too may receive the Holy Spirit. And this is a similar thing. It's all about receiving the Holy Spirit. But he kind of gives a little color to it by saying the Holy Spirit basically will bring us times of refreshing. You know what I like about that mostly is it's times. Not the Holy Spirit will bring you a time of refreshing. The first time. He will bring you times of refreshing. As I was thinking about this all week, it was kind of cool because I was just meditating on all the times of refreshing, all the times of a visitation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always with us, But there are times where his presence just kind of hits you so strong and something happens. Something that you need. And I was remembering through, not just from the time that I made him my Lord, even the calling me to him, I was just remembering time after time where the Holy Spirit just kind of, his presence either, you know, you could think of it however you want. It came in like this. For me, it welled up from within. It rose up from within me and did something for me. Sometimes it was also outside of me. He caused something to happen that did something for me. But the thing I was meditating on was how I was looking at it from here back there. It read like a book, and I saw how he did this first, and then he did this, and then he did this. How he had still has, this purpose running through my life. It's like he had a plan. Duh, I think that's in scripture. He had a plan for me. And from the moment he planned, he drew me to him, and then from the moment I surrendered, then the plan kicked into action. It really amped up because his plan for you, God is always wanting to move in your life, but his moving in your life is largely dependent on your willingness, your invitation to have him move. We seldom know how he's going to move. Every time he showed up for kind of a bigger visitation, we'll see it all through the books of Acts, he never came the same way twice. There were some things that kind of repeated, like people speaking in tongues, but and he did healings often. But when he showed up, one time he shook the room. You know, the first time it was a sound like a mighty wind and tongues of fire. We don't see that again. He shows up how he wants to show up and he does what he wants to do. But he always has a purpose and a plan in it. So I wanted to talk today, because I want to talk about visitations of the Holy Spirit. The first thing, what I wanted to cover today was, who is the Holy Spirit, and what does he do? Because I think it's crucial that we understand who he is. I think sometimes we have misconceptions about who he is due to what other people have kind of said him to be to us or acted like he is. I think a lot of times, this is just my own opinion, and I probably do this too. I think we all do this. Sometimes you're feeling insecure about something you did, so you figure if you blame it on God, then nobody can argue with it, right? So you'll say, well, I'm sorry I blurted that out, but the Holy Spirit told me to. Maybe, sometimes, but a lot of times I think we kind of, and I think that's something we should be careful of. I was in a church where one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is prophecy, and it flowed pretty regularly, and some people would stand up and they'd declare, you know, thus saith the Lord. That was the way we used to say it. Thus saith the Lord. And the pastor said, you know, I would prefer it if you say, I feel impressed that the Lord is saying, because of this. We're all human and we can make mistakes. So I feel impressed that the Lord is saying now puts the responsibility on you to judge that, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. If it doesn't line up with his word, boom, it's out. But there are other ways that it lines up. Anyways, I don't want to get sidetracked on that. I want to go back to who is the Holy Spirit. My number one point, the Holy Spirit is a person. It is so important that we understand this. Sometimes there's some things that's like, yeah, okay, I know that. But it's really important that we understand this, because God is relational and his Holy Spirit is relational. Let's read the scripture here. This is where I want you to see how many times it says he and him. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. And for you, he lives in you and you recognize him. I think some people kind of think the Holy Spirit is some kind of, I don't know, mystical, weird presence that comes on people and they do weird stuff. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is just the Spirit of God. He is one. God is three in one. So he is God's Spirit. He is God's mind. He is God's will. He is God's emotion. He is God's Spirit. So oftentimes I think people are afraid of the Holy Spirit, and I say to them, well, when you pray, you say, Jesus, will you help me with. And then you received help. Okay, that is Jesus, yes, in the sense that God is three in one. But more accurately, that is his Holy Spirit who answered your prayer and helped you. That is the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Jesus said that when he said to his apostles, I don't want you to be afraid, but I'm going to leave. But it is better that I go so that the Father will send the Comforter, will send the Helper, will send the Holy Spirit. So what you've already been recognizing, and you call that presence Jesus' presence, yes, it is. It's the Father's presence too, because they can't be separated. But that is the Holy Spirit. He is that gentle, sweet voice that led you to God's love, that pointed you to Jesus' sacrifice, that stays with you and comforts you. He's the one who leads you. He is not a force, and he is not a power that you use. He is a person that you know. If you forget everything else that I say today, remember that until later I tell you something else to remember. But remember that he is a person that you know. Knowing him is crucial. Knowing him is crucial. The Holy Spirit, because he's a person, he has a soul, he has a mind, and he has emotions. And here's the beautiful thing. He has the mind of God. He has the mind of God, and he knows God's will. The Holy Spirit, So he's a person, right? He has a soul. So he has a mind, and he has a will, and he has emotions. Where are most of our struggles? Most of our struggles are in our mind and in our will and in our emotions. Most of the things we go through are in those areas. Most of the pain that we go through in life is pain of the soul. It's pain of the heart. The Holy Spirit has the mind of God. So the Holy Spirit comes to teach us to think what God thinks, desire what God desires, and feel what God feels. That's why it's important that we get to know him and that we speak to him and that we ask him to lead us and direct us. And you know what? Here's the thing. Everybody can hear God. Everybody can hear God. I think sometimes in our insecurity and maybe because of a false sense of shame, I don't know what the reasons are, but it breaks my heart when I hear people say things like, well, will you pray because you're a better prayer than I am? My pastor, when I was first saved, his second daughter, the one Barry almost married, when she was little. But I love her, actually. She's a nice girl. Would have been a good choice for him, but. When she was little, apparently, she was kind of insecure and she stuttered. And she had an older sister who was like a super achiever. And Sharon Rose was her name. And so for the first 6 years of her life, she would speak and Sharon Rose would interpret for her. Kind of like Moses and Aaron, huh? And so she, whatever she wanted, she would ask through Sharon Rose. And I just think how sad that is. That someone would be so fearful, that a child would be so fearful that they couldn't ask for what they need and they'd have to use a big brother or sister to do that for them. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you need to do, but she didn't stay there. As a matter of fact, I understand she's a preaching machine. So she didn't stay there, nor should you stay there. Don't be afraid to talk to God for yourself. I mean, it's okay to, we encourage you to get prayer because we like to agree together. But know this, there are not experts at hearing God's voice. There may be some people who have gotten used to his voice and some people who may feel more comfortable listening to his voice due to more experiences. But you can catch up to them right away because all you have to do is say, Lord, I want to hear you. Because he longs to speak with you. He longs to talk to you. He longs to let you know what is on his mind. He longs that you be thinking what he's thinking. He longs to let you know what his will is for your life and to change your desires to match up with his desires. He wants to dialogue about that. And he longs to know what you're feeling and let you know how he's feeling. He longs for relationship with you. He's a person to know. The other thing about the Holy Spirit, besides being a person, is he's a person who is also, who's God. And this is so cool because he is God. He is omnipotent, which means he is all-powerful. He is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. And he's omnipresent, which means he is always present. There is nothing that God does not know, no place that God, nowhere that God does not exist, and nothing that God cannot do. He's God. He's a person. And he longs for relationship with you. Second thing is, he's our helper. Now, I pulled this scripture out of the Amplified Bible because I just love the Amplified Bible. I'm kind of a wordy person, so I like a wordy Bible because the Amplified Bible kind of gives you lots of words that a word could be translated as. So I'm going to read you John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. It'll be up here out of the Amplified. I have told you these things why I am still with you, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, and he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, he will remind you of, bring to your remembrance, everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us. You know, I used to say, wouldn't it be cool to live in the same time that Jesus lived, right? We all say that. Like, we thought we'd be one of the 12 hanging around with him. Well, I wouldn't have been one of the 12. I would have been one of the women hanging around with him in the 12 that ministered to him, you know? And I always try to think, which one would I be? Unfortunately, it might have been the bad one, but that's all right. I would have still been there, I hope. But here's the thing. You know what it's like when you want to talk to somebody after church and they're talking to 50 million people and you never get a chance to talk to them? Or when you are talking to them, you're looking over your shoulder and somebody is standing behind you and you're feeling like, I can't take very much time. I mean, when we say we wanted to hang with Jesus, we want to sit. We don't want to talk to him all the time, right? We want to ask him tons of questions. Well, here's the beautiful thing. Because his Spirit dwells within us, we do have him all the time. We have it better than the 12. And if you don't believe that, look at the 12. They were kind of confused and bumbling when they were with Jesus. They were doing, I mean, they were probably doing better than a lot of us would have done. But they weren't doing, they did much better after the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's when they began to walk in power and be his witnesses. That's when we see a transformation in these men. Because now, rather than just being beside Jesus, he's in them. He dwells within them. He leads us and he guides us. These are the things the Holy Spirit does for us. He teaches us. In that scripture, it said that we just read, it says, he will teach you all things. You've probably experienced this. You know what? I experienced this when I was reading that scripture, and the word refreshing, times of refreshing, jumped out at me. He guides us by teaching us in his word. Or sometimes maybe you'll be sitting in a sermon, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit will just tell you, listen, or he'll say something in that sermon. Barry, this happens to him all the time. People come up to him and say, oh, pastor, remember when you said da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, changed my life? And a lot of times Barry's like, I don't even remember saying that, but I'll take your word for it, you know? I'm like, well, one or two things happen. the Holy Spirit caused them to hear what they needed to hear, or you said it and you just don't remember. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to teach us. Faithful to teach us. One time Barry was preaching a sermon, and I actually knew what he was going to preach on. He was preaching on managing money, and we had talked about it, and I was sitting in my spot that Jocelyn has now. You're me today. And I hope you're paying attention. And I was not really paying attention. Like, I was looking that way, but I was not really. You know how you know I'm paying attention? When I'm talking back to him or making jokes with you, then I'm. But I try to be quiet. But when I'm being quiet, then sometimes I'm just not paying attention. So so anyways, I was sitting there, and Barry's talking on money, and he's talking about getting to the point where, you know, you give away the first 10% and you save the second 10%. Right when he gets to that point, the Holy Spirit just says to me, I just hear him say to me, listen. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I listened. And that was a practice that Barry and I practice. So after he said that, I said, okay, so don't we do that? And then he spoke to me. And he said, I'm not talking to you today about money. I'm talking to you today about time. I'm a bad time manager. He said, you give me your time. You give your time to me. You tithe to me your time. But you never save any time. You never have any margin. I want you to save time. I don't want you to fill up your time. I mean, because Barry was talking about, you know, then you just take the rest of your money and you take care of everything, and you're not planning for something bad to happen. You don't have any savings. The Lord told me, you never have any time savings. So you're always running late because you're always trying to cram a bunch of stuff in, and you're not. So little things like that, the Holy Spirit will just come to you and he'll just tell you things like that. So he teaches us. He heals us. He heals us. Even before we have come to him, but especially from the time of our conversion, God begins to restore all the things that sin and brokenness have either entrapped us with or destroyed us. He begins to restore those things that sin has taken away from us. He begins to set us free. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me too. And this is what the Spirit does. Preach the good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim freedom for the captives. Release from darkness for the prisoners. Comfort all who are mourning. To provide for those who grieve. Beauty for ashes. Joy for mourning. And praise for the spirit of heaviness. One of the very first experiences I had with the Holy Spirit. One of the very first. I mean, I had some experiences when he was drawing me to him. I was at a Young Life camp, and this was even before I had surrendered to him. And they told us to go away and to a quiet place and just ask God to speak to us. It was a powerful thing that happened to me. I always thought, before I knew God, that I was just maybe, you know, crazy, which I know a lot of you are like, good, you know, logical deduction. But because it would just, anyways, I was sitting, it was up in Canada, beautiful inlet, and I was sitting on one side of the water, and across the water was a tall, tall mountain. And I don't even remember what I was asking God, but all of the sudden, I felt something. I didn't know it was his presence. And this is the only time I've ever maybe seen a vision. Like, I see things in my mind when I'm praying when my eyes are closed, but my eyes were open, and on the side of the mountain was a giant door. Giant door. I got no idea what this means. I don't know any scripture. And I hear my voice called. And I feel like this empowering, this power in me, like I felt like I could walk across this water and go through that door. I'm supposed to do that. I mean, I just felt like it. I didn't know what it all meant. The next day in our little session after we sang our songs, the guy talked and he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, you know, and whoever will let me in. And I realized, oh my gosh, God's inviting me to be with him. And I gave my heart to the Lord the first time for 3 days. That's all I lasted. I cried for those 3 days. I didn't understand that either. I just cried. I just went home and I just cried and I cried and I cried. And I'm going to explain to you why in just a minute. Here's why I cried and I cried and I cried. I'm going to give myself to the Lord again a second time for 2 weeks, and then I'm going to cave. And then the third time, the last Christian that actually laid hands on me and prayed for me before I gave my heart to the Lord was Barry. He came in and sealed the deal, you know, and I finally surrendered to God, and there was no turning back after that. But when I first got saved, when that happened, Barry was, he just had a thing for me. And so, but he was afraid to date me because I was a wild heathen who just came to the Lord. I mean, like I just came to the Lord. And all his friends were saying, stay away from her. They said I was Jezebel, which, you know, he calls me sometimes now too. But anyways, so they were, you know, they were just telling me, be careful. You don't know. You don't know. He's on his way to Bible college, but he was smitten. So he was, of course, praying hard for me. And and wanting to teach me and stuff. Well, because he also was smitten, he was afraid to take me to his church for the first couple of weeks. He had me reading the book of John, and he showed me Proverbs 31. What a stinker, huh? Shows me Proverbs 31. Nobody starts somebody out there unless they're planning on making them their wife. Then you start them out there and train them young. So so I'm reading the book of John, and that's all I've read so far is the book of John. So after a couple of weeks, Barry says, I'm going to take you to church. So we go to his church. Now, I was raised Catholic, very high church. You know, we sang some songs and stuff, but it was very formal and non-expressive. And this church Barry took me to, oh my word. As we're walking up, I think something sounds like bees, like a buzz, or like, you know, when an orchestra is warming up and everybody's just making random noises. And as we get closer to the building, I realize it's just people. Like, in this church, nobody prays like this. Everybody prays out loud, top of their lungs, all at the same time. And people walking around, and I walk in, and I'm like, oh man, you know, what have I gotten myself into here? You know, like, I really like this guy, but Lord, I love you, and I'll do anything, but this is weird. So we go through the service, and then the music starts, and everybody's lifting their hands, some guys running around dancing, And I'm scared, and I kind of look to my right here to Barry for some help, and he's got his eyes closed, and his hands are lifted up. He's lost with the rest of them, you know. And so I just, like, quietly observed. And as we were leaving, I told him, because this is me, I don't know about you, if you want to do that stuff, but I am never doing that stuff, because that stuff ain't in the Bible. I'd read the book of John. I knew the whole Bible, right? I just told him that stuff ain't in the Bible. I just know that. I don't even have to read it to know that. I just know that because I know everything. And so, Barry, being Barry, he was the same man then, says to me, I thought you might feel that way, Colleen. So I took the liberty. It's funny that he was such a charismatic and he's so formal in his speaking, you know, so calm. So I took the liberty to write out several scriptures for you. Now, when he said several scriptures, it was a notebook, you know, written all here, and then another row here and another row here. I don't know how many scriptures there were, but there was like a ton on praise and worship. Because he said, that is in the Bible. And I've written it out to prove you. He was anticipating that I might. So I went home that night and I said, well, fine, I'll read them. You know, and so I'm laying on my bed, and I only read the first three, because the third one I got to was Psalm 149, and it talked about praising God from your bed. I'd read enough. I don't like to read that much anyways, so, you know, I'm a know-it-all, but it doesn't take very long for me to change my mind. You know, he had convinced me. And so I said to the Lord, I don't know, but God, I know you. I trust you. So, just between me and you, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to see what happens. So I'm laying on my back, and I lift my hands up, so I'm kind of praising, you know, like that, but on my back, and lift my hands up, and I've never been in a well, I've been in a church, but not, you know, a singing church. So I don't know what to do. So it was actually a good thought. Probably the Holy Spirit led me to do it. I thought, I'll just sing what I've been reading, because the Psalms are full of praises of God. So I just sang what I was reading. Just put it to my own music, you know, and just started singing it. I tell you what, people. The Holy Spirit came over me in such a powerful way. I've probably never had a worship experience that matches this. I could not stop singing. Far as I know, I fell asleep singing with my hands like this. I woke up in the morning singing. I could not stop singing. The other thing that happened to me is I'd be singing. My sister and I, you know, we're getting ready in the bathroom. We have one little mirror. Back in the day, you know, you didn't have big mirrors. You had one little sink. And so one's brushing their teeth, and I'm putting my makeup on over her, and I'm just singing away. And I realize, well, I'm not singing words I know. I'm thinking, well, that's weird. What kind of person makes up words, you know? And so I force myself, go back to singing words you know. And I get carried away with singing, and pretty soon, again, I'm not singing words I know. And I say, stop doing that. Go back to singing words you know. And I go back to singing words. This went on and on and on. Just thought I was weird. Thought, wow. And went to church the next week, Sunday night, and found out what that was. But the bigger point in this was the purpose in all that. Sometimes I think we get lost in the what happened and the gifts part, and we miss the purpose. I was a wild girl. And, you know, I joke with the college group about, you know, I didn't necessarily want to give up all my partying and stuff. But I was also a girl who struggled with depression. Big time. Because I was reaping what I was sowing. I was wild, and sin has its consequences. It has its natural consequences. And with those natural consequences came brokenness and deep wounds that I covered up, being the life of the party, running wild. I ignored them. I just put it behind me, right? You just got to move on. But you can't. My soul was beat up. It was battered. It was injured. And after coming to the Lord, the first thing he did was he gave me joy. He gave me joy. I think if you look at the way the Lord was working, you'll see that whenever he worked with you, he gave you joy. Or he gave you what you needed, I'm sorry. He will take your wounds and he will heal you. We read it. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. First thing he did, he said, I'm going to lift you out of that. I'm going to give you joy. I remember a dream he gave me in that time. I saw myself and I was in a muddy, muddy pit. And I was sitting in it. My clothes were dirty. And I wasn't even trying to get out. I could tell I had tried. And it was hopeless. And this hand came down from heaven, a giant hand, kind of like looked like, you know, in King Kong when he's holding the lady, you know, only it wasn't a gorilla hand, it was a God hand, a human hand, came down, and it reached into the pit, and it lifted me up. And I could tell as it was lifting me, my countenance was changing. My clothing was getting cleaner. It lifted me, and it kept lifting me, and I kept seeing transformation after transformation after transformation. And next thing I know, I'm in the clouds in this hand. And now the sun is bright. I'm smiling. And all of my garments, my clothes, I was wearing some kind of robe thing. It was white, white, white as could be. The Holy Spirit confirming, this is what I'm doing for you. So I ask you today, where are you hurting? What do you need? You know, it didn't stop there. The Holy Spirit, you know, recently, the last most powerful thing I had was a kind of a dream that he gave me. I was angsting. When Barry and I took over the church, I was pretty sure lots of things would happen. I knew we were going to be under attack. I knew the church was going to be under attack. And statistically, you never want to be the person that follows a founding pastor. So Barry and I, you know, like I said, we were going to stay and help that poor sucker. And those poor suckers ended up being us. But so I was certain of certain things that were going to happen. But my children were older. And it wasn't that I didn't think anything would happen. It's just that I wasn't thinking. I wasn't even praying protection. I mean, I raised them and, you know, they're just, and I felt like the enemy came in like a flood, or what do you call those big waves that come in? Tsunami. Because it just felt like it came out of nowhere. And I felt like he just about took out my younger two. I did. And I don't know about you, but there is no greater pain. I mean, I would say to God, you know what, I'll go through anything. Hurt me. Don't let my babies hurt. Don't let my babies stray. You know, nothing hurts. You like your kids. So I was, you know, doing what I knew to do. I would worry and I would just pray whenever I would worry. I knew to go to God. And I would have these experiences where I just felt like a wave would come over me, just a wave of grief. You know, it would just hit me, and I would just, my angsting would be like, oh, Lord, please, please, please. You know, I would just angst from the inside. Well, one night, it was about 2 a.m, and I woke up like I regularly would do, and I would just be fearful. You know, Lord, I don't know if they're out. I don't know what they're doing. I would just pray protection over them. And it wasn't like they were that horrible, but anyways, and I was reading Isaiah 54, and I would fall asleep, and I'd wake up and read more, but the Lord gave me this dream in the midst of it. And what I saw in the dream was a ridge of mountains, and it was all green and trees and stuff on the inside, and this really lush green valley, and then on the outside, it was jagged rocks and barren, and I knew that that represented being in Christ, and outside of the mountain represented being outside of Christ. So the first thing that was comforting to me is that I saw my kids, and they were in the green side. My oldest was down in the valley, which I knew represented the center of God's will. My other two were up the mountain away, and I'd wake up, and I'd go back to sleep, and the Lord would say to me, show me the first one. Pray that, and he was married at the time, pray that they don't get distracted. They're in the center of my will. So the Lord told me how to pray for my kids, and I had peace. You know, Matt and Lorraine were leaving this area. They were finding a new church, and the Lord let me know, I've got them. They're in my will. Pray that they won't get distracted. Pray that they stay focused. That's what you pray for them. And it was almost like he was limiting me, saying, that's what you pray. That's all you pray. Stand in that faith. So my daughter. My daughter is probably my most industrious child. She's always got a plan, always got something she's working on. You know, she's just go, 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 go. At this stage in her life, so I see her, and she's on the side of the mountain, and she's just busy. I don't know what she's doing, but she's doing something in those woods, and she's working, and she's doing stuff. I don't know, probably building a fort and building a town for people. I don't know, running a restaurant. I don't know. And I would see her, though, periodically glance down at the valley. And then she'd get busy again. And she'd glance down at the valley. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, she's looking for a way back to the center of my will. Pray that she find her way back. And the road that will lead her to me is my kindness and my compassion. She's a super achiever. Super achievers don't always recognize their need for kindness and compassion from God. But she, at this time in her life, was probably going through the hardest time in her life, the first time she'd ever experienced a serious failure. It was a horrible time for her. The Lord said, pray that she find her way back. Shortly after that, I was at lunch with her, and she said, I'm bored. I've become a manager. I don't want to go any higher. I don't want to be a GM. She was a manager at Applebee's. I bought a house. She bought herself a house. You know, she's the industrious one. She goes, but I just feel like I got no purpose, no plan for my life. She said, I'm thinking about moving to San Diego to be with Matt. That's her older brother and his church. And they got a lot of young people there. And I'm thinking, good move. You're hungry for God. I'm seeing the fruit of this, right? But she says to me, but there's this man. I say to her, oh, Snoo, I call her Snoo. Snoo, you know, just, she goes, so I'm going to wait and see what happens with him. And I said, just be careful that a man doesn't distract you from God's will for your life. However, I believe you were God's will for her life. And you know what? She's married now to a wonderful man. The two of them serve here at church. They're on fire for the Lord. I couldn't ask for a better situation. I'm seeing the fulfillment of her making her way. The third one was my son, Dustin. We're still waiting on that one. But he was just typically him spinning a, well, it wasn't, he would sit on the couch and spin pillows, but he was just kicking it by some stream, just kind of just unaware of, just Dustin, I don't know how else to describe him except for, you know it. He was just kicking it by, just laying by a stream, just hanging out, just basically not doing anything. But he's so easygoing. And all the way across the valley on the other side of the mountain, this shofar sounds, you know? And I see Dustin kind of look like, huh, that's weird. And then he just kind of looks back. And the Lord speaks to me again, and he says, he's not recognizing the call on his life. That call, that shofar, was to him, but it was way off in the distance, and he's not recognizing it. So pray that he will recognize the call on his life. He's right now going to a Christian college, Grand Canyon University, studying film, and he was telling me, he used to, the Lord told me not to nag him about this, but you probably, you all know this. Dustin would say all the time, I go to church all the time. Now, you all, you are my witnesses. You know, he would show up here maybe once every 2 months, wander in a little bit late, sit on the front row, and then you knew you weren't going to see him for another 2-3 months, you know. And he'd be like, oh, I just overslept, you know. And my oldest said to me, whatever happened, you're in my home, you go to church. You know, you live in my home. I'm like, you know what? God told me to keep my mouth shut, Matt. So what happened to you? Sorry. But the Holy Spirit told me. No, but it was for real. Because here's how I know it was for real. That's not my character. That you know, I was going against my, you need to be in church. You know, so that's how you know it was my will. Well, when I was talking to him, I said, so a while ago, I said, you know, have you found a church yet? He goes, yeah, you know how I am on Sundays. I kind of sleep in, but I go to chapel every day. So I was like, I'll take that. I'll take that. Well, a little while later, he starts dating this little girl. And guess who's going to church every Sunday now? You know what? And I'll take that. I'll take that. You know, he told me, he goes, Mom, she's good for me. She, like, you know, she gets me up going. I go to church now every Sunday. So I say that to say that, you know what? God will give you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And the Holy Spirit was inviting me to partner with him. To partner with him. He cared about what he cares about what I care about. He has a plan for their lives too. And he invites me to partner with him. The third thing he does, besides heals us and speaks to us, is he enables us. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And in Philippians 4:12 and 13, it ends with, you know, Paul says, I know what it's like to be in need, and I know what it's like to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The Holy Spirit comes to enable us in big ways and in little ways. When I was studying this point, I thought of another situation. You guys all know that I'm actually, my biggest fear, kind of a spirit of fear came on me when I first got saved. I think mostly because I was running in circles where everybody knew God and I was a baby Christian and, you know, all Barry's friends were going to Bible college and I just was so intimidated. And God just kind of pushed me out in this whole praise and worship thing. I got asked to be what we called a song captain, stand on, like Linda and Josh and what it looked like today, stand on either side of the leader. And I would stand this far away from my mic, and I would just mouth everything. I was so terrified to sing. And I gradually, you know, kind of got better. And there was one Sunday now, I'd been doing it for a while, and the leader said, and there was, the leader was a male, there was another male singer, and me. And they were doing a song that where the women echo. And so at practice, he said, so Gary and I will lead the men, Colleen, you lead the women. And I just looked at him with a look of horror, and I said, no, I can't do that. I can't. I begged him. I pleaded. I cried. I don't know what I did. Probably wet my pants. I don't know. But he got it. He's like, okay. It's not going to sound good. It's going to be kind of stupid, but Gary will lead the men. You and I will echo with the women. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, come Sunday morning, Rob forgets that. And he shouts out in the moment, men follow us, women follow Colleen. Now, I'm sure it was only a few measures, but it felt like an eternity to me because I started praying hard. Kill me now, just kill me. Maybe I could faint. I don't know what you have. Lord, get me out of here. I mean, I was terrified. To make matters worse, I had an ear infection. I was having a hard time hearing. And it was, so I'm having this conversation with the Lord, and I'm hearing the music behind me, and it's getting to the last word, and I'm going to have to jump in. And this is no lie. Right at that moment, a pop happens in my ear, and I hear not the soprano section that was in the choir behind me, because they never sounded this good, but it was soprano voices. I believe it was the voices of heaven. I believe it was angels' voices. I have never heard more beautiful voices. And these voices led me. They sang what I needed to sing so I could sing with them. They led me. He enables us in big ways and in small ways. Yesterday, I was here, and I had planned, you know, Barry all week. Baby, I know what you're doing. You're avoiding putting your message together because you're scared. No, I'm not, honey. I just have a lot to do. I'm doing everything else first, and then my message last. I'm going to do it on Friday. He goes, well, why don't you do it on Thursday, and I'll help you. Okay, I'll do it on Thursday. So we didn't really do it on Thursday. And I told him, no, I'm not ready yet. So I'm do it on Friday. Didn't do it on Friday. Didn't do it Friday night. I'm going to do it on Saturday. So Saturday now, I'm still at the church taking care of other things, and it's now, I told myself, by noon. Okay, by noon. Okay, I didn't start even doing my other stuff till 12:30. So anyways, I'm here, and it's now 6 o'clock, and I'm thinking, I still haven't got to it. But if I do it now, 6 to midnight, that's 6 hours. Okay, you know, and I said, Lord, I need help, though, because I still got to do the bulletins, and I got to cut up a bunch of long strips for the kids to make scrolls and print out the things. And I just knew I had a lot of work. I'm not going to be done. And I said, Lord, it would really be nice if Holly, because Holly's always telling me, call me on Saturday, I'll come help you. But I hate to call people. So I said, it'd really be nice if Holly just showed up. But I kind of felt like the Lord was telling me, you need to call her. You need to take that step. You need to do that. So I procrastinated on that. Finally, I'm like desperate. I shoot Holly a text. Hey, you know, no big deal, but if you're available, I could use some help. I was up in the office. I did that. I walked down to the double wide where I was going to cut the pictures. And literally, I had just done that. And I look out the window, and here's Holly. She was there the whole time. She was sweeping. But God made me text her because I think he wanted me to learn to do that. But here's the thing. I look out the window, and there's Holly. Just like that. It's like the Holy Spirit said, I already had your help here. I wanted you to ask her, but I already had your help here. Why? Because he enables us, big ways and small ways. So I scared her to death. I opened the door. She's busy sweeping. I'm like, hey. She's like, ah. And she did all that work for me. And I was able to go home earlier and spend time with the Lord and prepare. So he enables us. Bottom line, the Holy Spirit, says in your outline, is a person who needs to be experienced. I want to invite you today to experience the person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to realize he's been that voice all along. He's no stranger. It's nothing weird. But the more that we ask of him, the more that we allow him to have freedom to move in our lives, the more we will experience his transforming power, the more we will experience his teaching, his leading, his healing, his enabling. So I'll close today by just praying over you, that you may begin to experience times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. And Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would speak to our hearts. And that we would hear your invitation to enter into your love, to enter into your provision, to enter into your help, to go to the next level of knowing you, knowing your peace, knowing your truth, knowing your guidance. You have always been a God who desires to be known. You created Adam and Eve so that you would have fellowship with man, and we broke that. And you stopped at nothing, Jesus, to gain that back for us. You came and walked amongst us and died for us so that we would be restored to right relationship with you. And we thank you that now your Holy Spirit dwells within us so that we are never without you. Never without you. God promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. You are never without him. He is your faithful friend. Help us, Holy Spirit, to know you, to experience you, and to not limit you as to what you want to do in us, for us, and through us. We pray all these things in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen.